This is James Coover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District with your Extension Crop Report. The carbon credit market presents certain economic opportunities for farmers, but it also presents some risk as well. Today's report will be excerpts from a recent Ag Today interview with agricultural economist Nathan Hendricks and graduate researcher Micah Cameron Harp.
What's really driving this is voluntary corporate commitments to reduce their carbon emissions, corporate pledges to reduce how much they're emitting. And so they're going to reduce their emissions, but they also, in order to get to their goals, they need to go out and buy some offsets. So the idea is that farmers could implement certain practices. The most common people talk about is no-till cover crops, but there are others out there as well that would then sequester carbon out of the air, store it into the soil, and that would offset some carbon emissions from these corporations who are buying the credit.
So there are really four characteristics that if I'm somebody purchasing a carbon credit, I want to make sure that that credit is legitimate. And those four characteristics are that we think about additionality, leakage, permanence, and the uncertainty involved with quantification. So with additionality, what we're really thinking about is that we don't want to pay for a credit that is some carbon that already existed. So paying for a forest that's been forested since the 1800s, that isn't additional carbon being taken out of the atmosphere. Leakage concerns our ability to say sequestering carbon in Kansas, let's say, isn't leading to increased carbon emissions in Brazil. Uncertainty really deals with our understanding of what the number of tons of carbon is that we actually store in the soil. And then lastly, permanence is a question of how long it's going to last there. So is that carbon going to stick around for the next decade or the next century?
So one of the things, and there's a lot of uncertainty when a farmer implements a certain practice, how much carbon that's going to sequester. And there would be ways we could measure that in the soil, but that actually ends up being cost prohibitive to really get a super accurate measurement. So instead, what a lot of these companies are doing, who are the intermediaries, the middlemen in this market, is that they're doing a combination of they're doing some kind of a modeling that says what they expect how much carbon is going to be sequestered. And then there's an opportunity. Sometimes farmers could do some limited soil testing or whatnot that would also validate how much carbon's being sequestered. But that does become one of the major challenges here, is that really validating how much carbon was sequestered is difficult to do. One thing is you need to be careful of what's in the contract. And so really look into it. How long of a commitment are you making? And if there's a tenant-landlord relationship, to really understand how that could play in here. And so looking at what's going to be the data requirements of each place you go to. But it is really important to look into each of the contracts and understand that each of these is different, and not just necessarily look for the highest price.
If you would like to hear Eric Atkinson's full interview, it can be found on agtoday.net. If you have any trouble finding the interview or need help finding information on carbon credits, please contact me at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.